Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am so thrilled. I've been in the middle of a debate, and so we've delayed this show for a little while. But the debate is whether or not the future is open or settled. You know, the pagan Greeks believed everything for eternity future was settled. They called it fate, and they called it providence. Well, is God free or is God not free to have new thoughts, do new creative things? Here at Bob Enyart Live in Denver Bible Church, we believe the future is free. And so we've been debating that with the president of an online seminary. And it's really been a great debate. You could find it by going to kgov.com, looking for our debate. Is the future settled or open? Bob Enyart and Dr. Larry Bray. So that's delayed this program. But finally, we have our long-expected conversation with Sydney from Chicago, a Muslim who we have been talking to about the Bible, Christianity, and Islam. And so, Sydney, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Sydney, we are planning today to talk about the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know that our crew mailed to you the DVD that we produced called Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection. So I'm wondering, before we start, if you received that and have had the opportunity to look at it.
Yes, I received it, looked at it, and it's a powerful video, especially for Christians who want to strengthen their faith.
So thank you, by the way, for that, because that's very honest of you to say that. And it's clear that you were not persuaded, but you're saying it's powerful. It provides a strong argument for the resurrection of Christ. Was there anything, and ideas might come to your mind as we're talking, but is there anything that stands out initially as a specific claim that seemed to be false?
There's nothing on there that I could say that is false for 100%. Mm-hmm. But it still wouldn't persuade a Jewish person or a Muslim to believe that, one, Mary was impregnated by God, or that Christ has risen and went up to heaven. Hmm. Muslims and Jewish people would still hold on their same beliefs after watching the video, but they did have every evidence that you can possibly think of to prove that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and that the crucifixion did take place and that the body wasn't found afterwards, after the burial. Mm-hmm. But from my own belief as a Muslim, it still didn't persuade with any kind of evidence to say 100% that he rose and went to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you. Sydney, as we've talked over these weeks, I've come to enjoy you, and even though we've never met face-to-face, I count you as a friend.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate your honesty. It seems that throughout, you're being very forthright, and including with that analysis. One small clarification I'd like to give to what you just said. You said this would not persuade any Muslims or Jews. We have persuaded Muslims and Jews, as have Christians around the world, not the majority by any means. People have free will, and they could resist anything or any evidence.
Correct.
But there are, approaching 2 billion Christians in the world. Many of them are not true believers. As Jesus said, many will come in my name, and yet they'll deceive many. But the evidence for Christianity has been seen to be compelling by many. And so you and I are talking now to figure out if we could zero in on why you think the evidence is not sufficient.
Correct.
So I have some things that I'd like to share with you, some from the video. So should we begin?
Yes, sir.
All right. Sydney, the evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it seems that the whole world and every person in the world could be judged on whether or not Christ's resurrection is true or false. Would you agree that if Christ's resurrection is true, as the New Testament claims, that Christianity is therefore true and Islam is false, if Christ rose from the dead?
According to the Bible, yes, I would agree with that.
I'm not asking you, is Islam false or did Christ rise from the dead? I'm asking you, if Christ rose from the dead, would you agree that Islam is false and Christianity is true?
I wouldn't agree that it's false, because Islam is following an extension from the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
If you read everything in Islam, it still starts by saying that Abraham's father is God.
Right.
And that's who Muslims call Allah. So I wouldn't say that Islam is false.
Well, if Christ did not rise from the dead, I would say that Christianity is false, and therefore Islam has the potential of being true, because they can't both be true, because Muhammad and the Quran, they deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, as you do. Being a Muslim, you deny that. And you deny it because Islam denies that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so could I sort of pull you over on this issue? And could you evaluate? I know it's hard on our feet, especially when we're on the radio, to adjust our thinking and to respond to challenges that are put right in our face. But could you maybe reconsider that right now and agree with me that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, Christianity is false? And if Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, Islam is false?
If you want to just put it to the side and say that those are truths, I can agree with that to keep the argument going.
Well, I can't continue on those grounds. I can't continue this discussion on those grounds, Sydney, because if you said, well, for the purpose of continuing our discussion, okay, if Christ rose from the dead, Islam is false. No, you would need to have the courage of your conviction and your integrity, which I believe you have a lot of integrity. You'd need to have the courage of that to say, if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Islam is false. And here's what I suggest. Either you could come to that right now, which I think would be great, or we need to postpone and you consider that for a week or two, and then we continue or not.
Yeah, we would probably have to postpone, because I don't think we can say one religion is true and one religion is false, because we really won't know that until we die and we know who reaches the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, well, it seems a little late by then.
Because when I was watching the video, another thing that stood out, he was mentioning that the only way we can get to heaven if we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And then I went back to myself and said, the first commandment, I said, what if Satan is coming in our straight path to turn us away from God in some shape, form, or fashion?
Right.
And I looked at the first commandment. Yeah. I said, if Satan want to get most people to fall, he will come straight at them in the first commandment. If we believe in the first commandment,
right,
we just broke the first commandment.
You
don't even have to go to two.
You're exactly right. If Jesus Christ is not Jehovah, the God who created us, who then died for us and rose from the dead, if he is not, Christians are blaspheming God and committing idolatry by worshiping him.
Correct.
So if Christ did not rise from the dead, the New Testament says that Christianity is false, because Christianity is based on the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I have the courage of my conviction to say, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then I am wrong as a Christian. Christianity is wrong. You're right that there are many things we will not know until we see them face to face.
Correct.
But that does not mean that some people are not right and other people are not wrong. If somebody thinks that the earth is flat, that doesn't mean that there was no truth to that question until they died or went to judgment day. The earth was a sphere or it was flat. And so Christianity is either true or false, regardless of whether you or I understand the issues. And Islam is either true or false. It depends on God's view. God knows whether Islam or Christianity is true or false. And you said all religions have some truth, but that's not the issue.
Look at Judaism. I see Judaism as following the book, the Old Testament. I can't say 100%, but they follow it closer than any other religion that I have found on this earth
today.
They're the only one that still hold the Sabbath day like it's supposed to.
Right, along with Seventh-day Baptist and Adventist and all. But you're right. But
see, the Sabbath day Adventist, they go to worshiping Jesus. So if they're wrong on the Jesus aspect, they're all going to fall too.
Well, Jesus talked about that. And he said, they said, we have Abraham as our father, and we follow Moses. And Jesus said, if you followed Moses, you would believe in me, because Moses wrote of me. Sydney, the world, for the most part, respects and honors Jesus Christ. For the most part.
Yes.
Even all those, talk about the testimony of hostile witnesses, like the Apostle Paul, who was killing Christians. He was persecuting, arresting, beating, imprisoning, and killing Christians, and then he became a Christian. But the world, you look around the world, and even, say, Muhammad praises Jesus. Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, they have so many wonderful things to say about Jesus. And this is from those who deny him and his resurrection. Because Jesus said, if no man would praise him, then even the rocks and stones themselves would cry out, would praise him. That's like a statement of an egomaniacal lunatic, or a statement of God himself. And Christ's words came true after 2,000 years being in the New Testament, that the world praises him. And you know, that's not true of Muhammad. The world doesn't praise Muhammad. But the world, even Muslims, even Muhammad, even the Quran, praises Jesus Christ. So we're on a tangent, and here's what I think we should do. Would you take some time, an hour, a week or two, or more, and think through my challenge to you? If Christ rose from the dead, then Islam is false.
I still wouldn't have that view, because I really believe in the first commandment.
I do too.
I believe that God wouldn't change, and I don't believe that God would give us that commandment and then say it's no longer valid.
Well, why would, if Christ rose from the dead, if he is Jehovah God who created us, as the New Testament claims, why would that violate the first commandment?
Give me that question again.
Sure. And I so appreciate, Sydney, that you're really thinking and processing. If Christ is Jehovah God who created us, and if he came to earth in the incarnation and he died and he rose from the dead for us to pay for our sins, why would that violate the first commandment?
It wouldn't violate the first commandment, but I never remember him. It just may be my lack of knowledge, but I never remember him saying that he was the one who created us.
Well,
he was God who created us.
Well, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Do you remember when God appeared to Moses, before God gave him the Ten Commandments, God appeared to Moses and said, I am. Moses said, what is your name? And he said, I am. In Greek, that's ego eimi, I am. Jesus said, and his listeners were so angry because they said he's claiming to be God, and they wanted to kill him then. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And he had power over life and death. And he said he came in the fulfillment of the prophecies that said the one who would be born of a virgin would be the mighty God, the everlasting. Sydney, Jesus said, you have to love me more than you love your mother or father, sister or brother. Now, for any man to say that would be sick. But God could say that.
No, I don't think a man have to say that to be sick, because I really believe that Jesus was given to us as an example to follow. He's the perfect example that I've seen on this earth so far to follow. There's little to no sin and fault that I learned from my readings. But at the same time, I still not convinced that God came and impregnated a lady with himself, because we are made in the image and the likeness of God, I don't believe that he impregnated a lady with himself and then was born, crucified, and then was the resurrection.
Yeah, Sydney, you're way ahead of me. You're running while I'm walking. I'm not asking you if you believe all those things, not now. I'm asking you, if Christ rose from the dead, does that mean that Christianity is true and Islam is false? You know, Jesus, when he was on earth, there's a phrase that the whole New Testament does not use, and it's, thus saith the Lord. The Hebrew Old Testament says over 400 times, it says, thus saith the Lord. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are about Jesus Christ, over 100 times, Jesus says, I say unto you, I say unto you. And he takes the name of God upon himself, and he says that's who he was before Abraham was born, I am. Then, Sydney, if you do sort of a meta-analysis of everything that Jesus said about himself, Jesus' message was incredibly self-centered. I mean, constantly, hundreds of verses in the four Gospels, I'll give you a sense of what he said. Mm-hmm. Follow me. Not follow God, follow me. Pray in my name. Act in my name. The Holy Spirit, who is God, will come in my name. Isn't that something? He said, for my name's sake, leave your family and your property. He said, believe in the name of God. No, he said, believe in the name of the Son of God. I don't even think Muhammad would say that. No. He said, believe in me over and over and over. He said, you are sanctified by faith in God. No, he said, you are sanctified by faith in me. He said, abide in me. He said, I will abide in you. Now think about that. That's a statement of omnipresence, a deity statement. Does Muhammad live in you?
Not in that sense what Jesus was talking.
Right. God could live in us because God can be everywhere at the same time. But Moses can't live in us, and Muhammad can't live in us because they're people. If Jesus was telling the truth and he said, I will live in you if you trust in me, then he's God because he's omnipresent. But otherwise, he was a lunatic and a liar to say all these things about himself.
No, I wouldn't say he was a lunatic and a liar. Again, I go back to saying that he was that perfect example on earth that we can follow.
Well, if he was, why would he be so self-centered? Let me give you just a few more examples. Mm-hmm. He said, I never knew you, so depart into hell. He said, confess me. He said, do not deny me. Love me. He said, be worthy of me. Come to me. I will give you rest. It goes on. Sydney, I've not even touched. He said, I am greater than the temple. I am greater than Jonah. He said, I am greater than Solomon. He said, I am Lord even of the Sabbath. And you might argue, well, one or two of those verses are not reliable, but this is the entirety of the four Gospels that even Muhammad read to get to know who Jesus Christ was. Christ self-focus. He said, the angels, you know who they belong to? He said, the angels are my angels. He said, the kingdom of God, he said, it is my kingdom. He said, the church, he said, it is my church. Believers, he said, are my believers. They are my elect, he said. He said, keep my commandments. They're supposed to be the commandments of God. But Jesus said, they are my commandments. And his ultimate question was, who do you say that I am? Not who do you say that God is. Who do you say that I am? All of this would be sinful if Jesus Christ were not God. Yet even though this is the total testimony of the four Gospels, Muhammad taught that people should honor Jesus Christ. Why honor him if he was such a self-deluded prophet? And Sydney, I'm just scratching the surface of what Jesus said about himself.
We can find a lot of scripture with interpretation
Oh, yeah.
To go one way or another.
Oh, yeah, right. That's why I'm not looking at one verse.
Men has been using the Bible for interpretation for many things, good and bad. But I always say that God would never leave us to the point where we'll be lost and he won't give us the truth. And when I believe that and I start searching,
yeah.
When I was studying a different religion, I said to myself, God got to show me the truth. And so when I was reading and studying the last chapter of Revelation, and I believe it was Jesus when he said, I am the root and offspring of David.
He is.
So is God the root and offspring of David?
Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God the Son. So God, the eternal God who created us, God prophesied to Adam in the garden that he would save man by the seed of the woman, and then to Abraham, in Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And then through King David, the one who would sit on his throne would forever be the king over God's kingdom. And that was all a prophecy of Jesus Christ, who came in the fulfillment of all those prophecies. He was born where the prophecy said, and he lived the life they'd say, and he was crucified not only in the year that they said in Daniel 9, but in the month and on the day when the Jews were killing the Passover lamb. He was buried during the Jewish feast of unleavened bread, because he was the bread from heaven, yet his body did not decompose. There was no leaven, no sin in it. And he was resurrected on the feast of first fruits. This is all the calendar given to Moses by God on Mount Sinai 1,500 years earlier. He gave the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Weeks on Pentecost, showing through centuries that God was inserting into the history of mankind through the Holy Scriptures the evidence that Christ was who he claimed to be.
But now when they took him in front of the Romans, my memory don't serve me as good as I would like, but didn't they ask him, was he God at that point? Was he the king of the Jews? And what was his response?
Well, half of that. It was the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who said to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And as you recall, Jesus answered, it is as you say, thou sayest. And he said, you would have no power over me other than that which my Father gave to you. But after that, he remained silent, as the prophecy in Isaiah 53 about the Messiah who would die for the sin of the world, as a sheep before the shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. So no, he did not deny being God, and he affirmed that he was the king of the Jews. And he prophesied.
But he still referred to his Father.
Yeah, because he's God the Son. The Christian doctrine, as with the Hebrew Scriptures, shows a plurality in God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. It's not El, which means God, one God. It's not Elah, which would mean two. It's Elohim, which means plural. That's why God said, let us make man in our image. And the first prayer of monotheism by Moses in Deuteronomy is, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that is Elohim, the plurality in the Godhead, is one. In Hebrew has a word for one, which means one. And then it has a word for one, which means more than one combined into one. Like when God said, the woman shall leave her mother and father and be joined to the man, and they will be one flesh. That's the one that we read, the Lord thy God is one Lord. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Elohim, God's, singular verb, he created the heavens and the earth. Why would the world's number one bestseller start out with a grammatical error where the subject and the verb don't agree in number? The subject is plural, the verb is singular. Moses did not make a faux pas, a grammatical mistake that he'd get marked off in English grammar in third grade. The Bible teaches that there's a plurality in God. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed for eternity past, And that's what they were doing all that time. They were enjoying one another. They were fellowshipping with one another.
I feel that that's where the biggest disagreement come in. I still don't see in that interpretation where God is more than one.
Well, and
if he say that's my son, then that's his son. That's not him.
I know that we are talking about that. I've been giving you biblical evidence for that, but that's ahead of us. Could we do this? You've agreed already, Sydney, and I think we should. Why don't you reconsider my challenge, and either you could say yes or no. Either is your answer. In a week or whatever, you could say, Bob, I've thought it through, and if Christ did not rise from the dead, Christianity is false. And if he did rise from the dead, Islam is false. I'd like you to consider that, yes or no.
Yes, I would consider that. Let me
Praise God.
Some soul searching and some researching and see which way I would agree on.
All right. Sydney, thank you for the honor of speaking with you. I believe Jesus Christ died for you, that he loves you, he gave his life for you, and that he wants to fellowship with you for all of eternity, as do I and my fellow family members who really have come to love you through our conversations. So, Sydney, I look forward to hearing back from you. We'll call you if you don't call us within a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot.
God bless
you. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thanks.
All right.
That's Sydney, the Muslim from Chicago. The Bible teaches us to reason. God says, come, let us reason together. Jesus is the source of all truth. Truth is non-contradictory. Because creation is the result of the thoughts of God, God's thoughts, therefore reason and logic can be trusted. If there is no God, then you can't have intelligibility, logic, reason. You can't have those things. You can't trust in those things. There's no defense of those things. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Sydney has to do some soul searching. He said the Mount Moriah video was powerful with evidence that would strengthen a Christian's faith. And by the way, if you haven't seen that, boy, I think you'd want to get it from us here at kgov.com or call us 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. It starts out assuming the resurrection is not true. Where do we go from there? What does the evidence say? I think you'll love it. God bless you.